You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre with Will Bonoff. I am honored that I was asked to be here today, Tony.
And Tony Kornheiser, actually wasn't my call. I'm just saying, wasn't my call.
Wow.
That
I feel like
you
simultaneously have, I feel like you have all the power on this show, except when you don't want to have it, like when you want to take credit or not for me. So, feels great.
No, I love you. I do. I love having you on this show. It pleases me more than you can imagine. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon has the day off, so I'm joined today by our great friend, from the ESPN Daily podcast, my grandson, Pablo Torre.
Yes. Multiple cheers.
That's sort of weak, actually. And we begin today with the shocking result of UCLA beating number one seed Michigan last night. It was a physical, low-scoring game, 51-49. Michigan did not make a single basket in the last 5 minutes and 23 seconds, scoring only 3 free throws. They missed their last 8 field goal attempts. Pablo, did UCLA win this game or did Michigan lose it?
So I want to give credit to UCLA, first four to final four, all of that Johnny Juzang, my half-Asian king, Tony, at 28 points, 55% of UCLA's total output. But watching Michigan in those last 5 minutes you just described there, you ever have that dream where you're like shooting a free throw somehow, like you're back in school and the basketball becomes a bowling ball? Like, that's what it felt like for Michigan for 5 minutes. They have this player, Franz Wagner, who is projected to be an NBA lottery pick. That's the kid who airballed the three, had another shot at a three, with the game still very much in reach. He misses both, and the entire team feels like they're going to be locked into that nightmare of how did we go 0 for 4 minutes with the final four on the line?
Can we go back to the bowling ball situation? Maybe you want to hop on a couch with somebody. Most of the dreams I have, I'm late for the exam. I don't have the bowling ball ones, but let me go to this point. I had Jay Billis on my podcast today, and he described the game as a rock fight, all right? I mean, he said that UCLA was clutching and grabbing a lot, and they weren't being called for it. I look at this score. Look, I'm stunned by this. I am. I look at this score. I look at 49 points by Michigan in a game that can get you to the Final Four against an 11 seed, and you're a 149 points. And so my first inclination, like yours, is to think that somehow Michigan blew it. On this particular program, there has been a lot of slurpage of Juwan Howard, and it has been justified, but maybe Mick Cronin ought to get some. And I would bring out this one point that at the end of the game, when you need something to happen and you have the ball and you're Michigan, and the tallest player on the court, 7'1", is your guy, why aren't you throwing the ball to him as opposed to having him inbound the ball? I mean, I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, they have an NBA prospect at center, Michigan does, and the way they beat Florida State, Tony, in the second half of that game when it became a blowout against FSU, they scored 30 consecutive points in the paint. And I just want to point out also about the dreams thing, like, we clearly have very different traumas, Tony. Tests for me in grade school, like, that wasn't the issue, but CYO basketball, absolutely, that's where all of the residual trauma still does remain, very obviously.
So let me just say this about UCLA. Let me give them credit. And as old as I am, I remember when UCLA was the most important school out there in college basketball. They own the state of Michigan. In this tournament, they beat Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, I think that's a pretty good deal for them. I do. Although, again, I'm stunned by this. You mentioned the kid who had the most points. The rest of the team, Pablo, the rest of the team shot, let me get this, 10 of 35. How do you win a game against the number one seed like that? So,
and congratulations to UCLA. They get to now play Gonzaga, and it is getting really, really difficult to doubt Gonzaga, Tony, because the Zags in their game rolled over USC by 19 last night, and they are now a 13.5-point favorite over the aforementioned UCLA Bruins, which is the biggest spread in a Final Four game since 2007. So, Tony, did last night's win convince you that Gonzaga is now likely to run the table?
Last night's win convinced me not to watch the rest of the game after the first 3 minutes when the game was over. Because USC could neither dribble the ball nor complete a pass. And every time you look back, somebody at Gonzaga was right at the rim scoring a basket. I mean, this kid, Timmy, destroyed the Mobley brothers. And Jalen Suggs, as he has done throughout the entire tournament, consistently finds people totally open right by the rim. So, I mean, I would love to give you a path that UCLA could take to beat Gonzaga. But I don't think that either Kareem or Walton has any eligibility left. I mean, I don't think so. So I'm looking at Baylor, who I think will beat Houston. I'm looking at Baylor as maybe the only team that can win this game. They have a lot of juniors and seniors. They're calm. They're composed. But honestly, Pablo, Gonzaga is going to have to be really off for that to happen. Gonzaga has, I think they've won four games by a total of 96 points. They look great. They do. They look great.
No, they've won 29 straight games by double digits. And the last time we talked about this on PTI, Tony, I sort of expressed hesitance at the outset of the tournament that any team could be a favorite to be undefeated because it's just a chaos-generating randomness machine. That's what the tournament always is. That's why, since the tournament expanded to 64, now 68 teams, zero teams have done it, right? Indiana, the last time to do it, last team to do it in the mid-70s, they did that with a field of 32. So Gonzaga is basically providing order, imposing an order over all of this randomness to a degree that has blown me away. And what you said about the Mobley brothers, Evan Mobley, keep this in mind, he is a top three NBA draft pick. So what Gonzaga is doing is not just really good college basketball play. They have NBA players in Corey Kispert and Drew Timmy and Jalen Suggs, who I also love. They are stacked. They're one of the greatest teams at this point that we have ever seen.
Yeah, I'm afraid I may have to revise my thinking because I look at them and I just want to give one statistic that is amazing to me. They're shooting 53.5% from the field, twos and threes. Twos alone, 62.2%. I mean, that's fabulous. You can't beat that. They run out at every opportunity. Pablo, they never take a bad shot. They never seem to take a forced shot. Again, going back to Billis, talking to Billis today, he said their basketball IQ collectively is tremendous. The choreography of that offense, people are open all the time.
And now we have the situation. The last thing I'll say, Gonzaga is now Goliath. UCLA, Tony, UCLA is David. And this is just the new normal, it seems, for the foreseeable future, because that is how good a job Mark Few has done recruiting kids to Eastern Washington.
Yes, yes. The baseball season opens tomorrow. And in a podcast with Jason Stark, Theo Epstein talked about how his agenda now that he's working for MLB, is to change baseball for the better, to find the best version of the game. So he wants more action, more doubles, more stolen bases, a faster pace of play, fewer strikeouts. So Pablo, let's concentrate on that. Epstein would move the mound back from 60 feet, 6 inches, maybe just 1 foot. But what do you think of that?
I am kind of into it, Tony, because at a certain point in this whole conversation around what to do about baseball, we need to break a couple eggs. Like, we can complain for a very long time about what needs to be done, what should be done, but if you're not going to sacrifice something like the distance of the pitcher's mound, I don't know how else you solve this problem, right? Way too many strikeouts and the average fastball velocity. The average is over 93 miles an hour, right? There are pitchers like Noah Syndergaard who throws a 93-mile-an-hour slider. It just seems pretty convincing to me that pitchers have solved the game in a way that requires the game itself to adapt to them. And I think the pitcher's mound, which has been changed before, keep in mind, right? Bob Gibson after 68, 1.12
ERA. I'm going to get to this.
Lower the mound. Yep. All of that stuff, yep. Tony. I think you got to do it.
Yep. So I was going to give this history lesson because it goes back to 1968 when I'm pretty sure you weren't around. You weren't even around in 1978. Okay.
Wikipedia.
So what happened was the pitchers were dominant. There were two pitchers. Denny McClain won 31 games, and Bob Gibson had a season-long ERA of 1.12. And baseball lowered the mound. With that one small act, batting averages went up in 1 year from 237 to 248. One change, and no pitcher has ever had a season like that again.
Right.
My pushback on this, though, and I'm not saying you're wrong, is to me 60 feet 6 inches is sacrosanct. It's like the basket's 10 feet high, the football field is 100 yards long, the bases are 90 feet apart. You can change the fences, bring them in or bring them out, but the pitcher's mound is 60 feet 6 inches. To go to your point about the fastball, since 2005, all right, this is only 15 years since 2005 when the average was 90.1. As you said, a fastball, the average is 93.1. Something clearly has to be done. It does.
Yeah, I saw our friend Keith Olbermann musing, Tony, about let's move the fences back, you know, make the field of play bigger. I just feel like as a practical solution, as much as it is a holy number, 60 feet, 6 inches, that feels like the lamb that we must sacrifice. At a certain point, if you recognize that the science around the game is this obvious, I just don't know what else we're supposed to do.
So let me go back to one more set of numbers. And again, I'm going to go back to 2005. Not 1925, not 1965, 2005, which you can still see in the rearview mirror. In 2005, hitters produced 13,347 more hits than strikeouts. More hits. By 2018, that was even. Last year in that small abbreviated season, there were 1,100 more strikeouts than hits. So you went from plus 13,000 to minus 1,100 in 15 years. If going back 1 foot will give a batter more time to produce the ball in flight, not going out of here, just on the ground,
yes,
then I am for that. Then I will... I'll bite on that, I will.
Welcome to Compromise.
Let's take a break.
Welcome.
Let's take a break. Coming up, 3 number one seeds made the women's Final Four. So should UConn be the significant favorite?
And Tony, what's the word for how J.J. Redick says the Pelicans treated him?
It's just one of those numbers, 60 and 6. I mean, you know, you grow up with that. That's there. That's where the mound has always been. It's not like raising it or lowering it. You're moving it.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Toyota.
Pablo's father is a urologist, and I'm an honorary doctor of humane letters, which means we can both perform vasectomies, which is what I'm about to metaphorically do to Pablo in What's the Word? What's first?
UConn is a blank favorite in the women's Final Four.
And my word is sentimental. Because I don't think this is scientific. I think it's emotional. Everybody just assumes that UConn is the best team and they are automatically going to win, when in fact, they have not won the last 3 women's tournaments, and they made the Final Four in each one of those. They are not the number one overall seed. Stanford is. They only have 2 players who contribute significant time who have been to Final Fours before, and they don't have any seniors. I mean, it's not that I don't root for Connecticut, because I do root for Connecticut, but I don't think they're not Gonzaga. They're not rolling through this thing. They had to be saved last time. I think either Stanford or South Carolina might be able to beat them.
But that's why, to me, the word is future-proofed. They are a future-proofed favorite, Tony, and I'll explain here. Because the sentiment that I think you're circling there is the idea that as all of these variables in our world change, right? You're in an attic. Weed is legal in New York City as of today, suddenly. Very crazy things are happening everywhere. UConn being in the Final Four is true yet again. And to me, that qualifies as a reasonable argument for why they are a future-proof team. You wake up in 2035 and you look up and you say, who's really good in women's basketball? And they say UConn, and you say, exactly, that's what I thought. I assume they have another freshman like Paige Becker, is the best freshman in the country in that year, 2034.
I'm so discouraged. Next!
J.J. Redick's frustration with the Pelicans' front office seems blank.
It seems justified. The entire crux of this issue is, do you believe J.J. Redick? I don't have any reason not to believe him. His position is he went to David Griffin before the season started, and he said, I'd like to be traded, and I'd like to be traded to be near my family to a team in the Northeast. And he said that David Griffin told him repeatedly, hang with us for a while. If it doesn't work out, we will accommodate you. We'll give you exactly what you want. And then they trade him to Dallas, which the last time I looked is not in the Northeast. And he believes Griffin lied to him. Griffin got there last year as a GM, and he put a minutes count on Zion Williamson. And then he fired Alvin Gentry because Alvin Gentry couldn't win games without Zion Williamson, because Zion Williamson's the best player on the team. You know, I understand this happens in business. You want to take care of the people who are with you, not the people who are leaving you. But my read on this circumstance is that J.J. Redick was lied to.
Well, that's why my word is Rorschach testy. This feels like a Rorschach testy sort of a controversy, Tony, because it's an ink blot, right? We can look at this, and I agree with you fully, by the way. We look at this and you say, okay, J.J. Redick is an employee who was lied to, who had a reasonable request, and sure, did he want something out of his self-interest? Of course. But apparently, according to him on his podcast, this was a thing that was agreed to. But the other side of the equation, which I think, Tony, and I fear, has way more people on it, they look at this and say, wait a minute, so this spoiled multimillionaire who's not that good this year, this guy wants to dictate his future even though the Pelicans got something back for him because they did trade him to Dallas? To me, the question is simple. Personally, did he get lied to? And until we have evidence otherwise, I'm inclined to be sympathetic to the ink blot that looks more human as opposed to the opposite.
That's it. We'll take one last break, but still to come, will Francisco Lindor get the $385 million he wants from the Mets?
And Connor McDavid gets fined for this elbow. He deserves a suspension.
I told the producers, he went to Harvard. Don't put me in a word game with him. He's going to crush me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
Happy time, people. Happy 71st birthday, Ed Marinaro. If you know the name, you likely know it from Marinaro's acting career, which was most notable for his work on Hill Street Blues. But before he even thought of acting, Marinaro was a great college running back at Cornell. In fact, he finished second to Auburn's Pat Sullivan for the Heisman Trophy in 1971. After rushing for 1,881 yards in just 9 games. From there, Marinaro went to the NFL for 4 seasons with limited success with the Vikings, then 6 games with the Jets and 1 in Seattle. In New York, Marinaro became pals with Joe Namath, who also went into acting after football. The first great NFL player to go into acting, of course, was Jim Brown, who quit football cold in his prime to do it. Hall of Fame defensive tackle Alex Karras had a long comedic acting career that started with playing Mongo in Blazing Saddles. On a personal note, I think Hill Street Blues is the greatest television show of all time.
Tony, I'm a Law & Order guy. Hill Street Blues was before my time. So when I say to you, Law & Order seems better than Hill Street Blues, what do you say in response to that?
Wilbon says the same thing. I would just say you're both wrong. Don't worry about it. Watch Hill Street Blues. You'll see what I'm talking about. Happy anniversary, Keith Smart. Around this day 34 years ago in New Orleans, Smart hit the go-ahead basket and then intercepted a full-court last-second pass to beat Syracuse and give Indiana its 5th national championship. The Indiana backcourt was Smart and Steve Alford. Syracuse had Derek Coleman, Sherman Douglas, and Ronnie Cicely. This was Bobby Knight's last championship and the last one so far for Indiana. The Hoosiers have returned once to the final game under Mike Davis, losing to Maryland in 2002. More recently, Indiana has gone through a slew of coaches, including Tom Crean and Archie Miller, without much success. And they are turning now to Mike Woodson, one of Knight's former players. This was the highlight of Smart's basketball career. He played just 2 games in the NBA with San Antonio and scored just 2 points.
The last time I saw Keith Smart was when he was an assistant coach with the Knicks in 2019, then got fired, which reminds me, if anybody wants a 7-DVD collection of The Mike Woodson Show from Madison Square Garden Network, I happen to own that for some reason.
Not as good as Hill Street Blues. Happy trails to $5,000 of Connor McDavid's money. The Edmonton Oilers star has been fined 5 large, the maximum allowable under hockey's collective bargaining agreement for elbowing Montreal's Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I hope I got that right. Last night with Edmonton trailing 3-0 in the first period. McDavid laid a crushing hit on Kotkaniemi that some thought was targeting. McDavid was sent off the ice for 2 minutes. Naturally, those that dislike McDavid said he's being given special treatment as the NHL's biggest star by not being suspended. Others who like McDavid, who leads the league in scoring, say he's often grabbed, checked, and shoved without consequence. One wag suggested Kotkaniemi be fined for getting his jaw in the way of McDavid's elbow.
Yeah, it feels like McDavid should take the hit on this. He hit the guy with his elbow in the jaw. Seems kind of cut and dry to me.
Quick big finish. Pete Alonso says he hopes the Mets pay Francisco Lindor $400 million. Does that make sense?
It does not, but that is a good friend. Your owner has, like, billions of dollars. Meanwhile, Tony, Victor Oladipo will not be in Indy as the Heat take on the Pacers tonight. Is that okay by you?
Supposedly it's illness. Something suggests that maybe he's ducking his former team. I don't know. The Clippers are reportedly discussing a 10-day contract with DeMarcus Cousins. Is that a good fit?
He is a low-risk, high-reward kind of thing, which is what I've been saying for 3 years now. Meanwhile, the Flyers at the Sabres tonight. Does Buffalo's 18-game winless streak end tonight?
No, sadly no. It's going to 19. Last one. The Jazz go for their 7th win in a row tonight against the Grizzlies. Are you into the Jazz?
Not really, even though they are still the best team in the NBA. Yes, sorry, Jazz.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts. And I think SportsCenter's up next.
Can I shout out to Wayne and Hassan? Can I just give them that shout out? You did a great job. Did you read from your iPad?